with that last variation of the variations of the final movement, we come full circle back to the theme of the opening Allegro, Valedictory Extraordinary, the last works of Brahms. The quintet in G minor, opus 113, played here at Wigmore Hall by Maximilian and Martin and the Badker Quartet, Charlotte Scott, Emma Parker, John Thorne and Jonathan Byers. Back at Wigmore Hall on the 5th of January with Alisa Weilerstein playing Bach and Kodály. For the moment, from Wigmore Hall, back to Broadcasting House.
Sean Rafferty introduced that lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall in London, the concert that was first broadcast live 2 weeks ago.
My final Composer of the Week for 2014 and my first Composer of the Week for 2015 was a lawyer, although a trip to Germany where he heard Wagner's Tristan and Isolde put paid to that. He was born in 1841, and many consider him to be the forerunner of the modern school of classical music. Indeed, Ravel declared that this composer had changed the direction of French harmony. Oh, and apparently, he was a terribly nice guy. Who is he? Emmanuel Chabrier, my Composer of the Week, starting tomorrow from midday here on BBC Radio 3.
Back to today. It's a little after 2 o'clock and time now for this week's Early Music Show, in which Lucy Skeeping takes a closer look at an ancient Christmas tradition. The programme opens with a popular Christmas carol by Elizabeth Poston, Jesus Christ, the Apple Tree.
Hello. Well, you may now be well into recovery after the indulgences of the last few days, but here on the Early Music Show, things are still in full swing. We've just heard the choristers of King's College with the sort of glorious, refined sound that still enhances worship during one of the major Christian feasts of the year. And what could be better than a wonderful church choir in full throttle? In today's programme, though, we're looking at another musical aspect of the Christmas season. For centuries, out in the streets and taverns and the orchards and fields during the dark winter months, ordinary folk sang their own songs, simple words and melodies passed on by ear down the generations. Many of them reveal elements of ancient customs and traditions. Kissing under the mistletoe or decorating our homes with evergreens, for instance, are all remnants of our pre-Christian past that became integrated or reinterpreted into the Christian story somewhere along the line. And one particularly intriguing Christmas tradition we're going to explore today that's given rise to any number of carols is wassailing. Very traditional sound of the Waterson Carthy clan. But what exactly is wassailing and how does one do it? Well, my guest today is someone who's fully qualified to answer that question. She's Joanna Crosby, who's currently doing a PhD on the subject, that is, the social and cultural history of the apple and the orchard.
Basically, wassail means your health. And if I say wassail to you, holding up a drink, then you say drink hail back. So wassail is a drinking toast. And it comes down to us from the Norse. And the source that we have for this is Geoffrey of Monmouth's History of England, which was written in the 12th century. And he records this lovely little scene between King Vortigern, who was king of Thanet and Kent and parts of South England. And he accepted the Norsemen into his court. They had this ceremonial feast. And King Hengist of the Norse, he had a beautiful daughter, they always do. And she said, "Was hail," to King Vortigern. And he asked his advisers and said, "What does that mean? What do I do?" And they said, "She is wishing you good health." And you say, "Drink hail to her and down your cup of mead or ale." And this must have gone on, I think, probably all evening, because at the end of it, King Vortigern wanted to marry Princess Rowena and offered her the whole of Thanet as a dowry.
There is this close connection, isn't there, between wassailing and singing. It's not just downing a glass, is
That's right, there is, yes. Particular wassailing and wassail songs have been around for a long time. And in fact, one of the earliest known carols that comes from England, which is called Lauding's Listen to Our Lay, which survives to us in a 13th century translation of an Anglo-Norman carol, finishes with an invitation to toast or wassail each other and says, "Thus I advise, here then I bid you all wassail. Cursed be he who will not say drink hail." And that's the end of the carol. So that's our first connection between wassailing, carols and song.
Lordings, listen to our lay. We have come from far away to see Christmas. In this mansion we are told, in his yearly feast of hold, 'tis today. May joy come from God above to all those who Christmas love. May joy come from God above to all those who Christmas love.
You're listening to me, Lucy Skeeping, with the Early Music Show here on Radio 3, and I'm exploring the traditional art of wassailing today with Apple historian Joanna Crosby. It's obviously a toast as
yes.
part of a sort of a banquet of some kind. At what point does it become particularly associated with, only with Christmas in a sense?
It moves into something that you do at the end of Christmas to celebrate the last of the 12 days of feasting. And at that point, it is, as far as I can tell, a drink of mead or anything, and you say the wassail toast. And the record that we have for that is the Royal Records. And this is King Henry VII. And it's written out in King Henry VII's sort of book of how you behave in court. All the royal court will come in a procession, and the chaplain will stand on one side of the hall. And when the steward cometh in at the hall door with the wassail, the chaplain must cry three times, wassail, and the chaplain will answer with a good song. So it's a very sort of ritualised toast by this period.
Now, the drink in question, you mentioned mead. Is that specifically an apple juice type of drink?
At this point, no, it's not. Mead is fortified ale, so it's ale brewed with honey. And the apples sort of crept into it a little bit later with this lovely drink called lamb's wool. There's a bit of debate as to why it's called that. It could be from Lammas Day, which may mean the day of the apple. Or it could just mean because into this hot ale you dropped crab apples which had been roasted, and you get this lovely image, I can almost smell it now, of hot ale with a roasted crab apple, and when you drop it in, the apple bursts open and you get this lovely pulp on the top which looks like lamb's wool. It looks like the fleece.
Right, so it could be either of those
meanings. Could be either of those meanings, yes. And Shakespeare refers to roasted crabs hissing in the bowl in Twelfth Night, and what he's talking about is this drink of lamb's wool with a hot spiced ale.
Joy, health, love and peace be all here in this place. By your leave we will sing concerning our king is well dressed in the silks of the best, in ribbons so rare no king can compare. We have travelled many miles over hedges and stiles in search of our king. Unto you we bring, we have powder and shot to conquer the lot. We have cannon and ball to conquer them all. Old Christmas is past, 12 times is the last, and we bid
So in the great banquets, we're celebrating, drinking this frothy liquid.
Yes.
But something's going on outside in the orchards as well, perhaps with the country folk, the poorer folk.
That's right,
another
yes.
kind of ritual.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The orchard wassail was done to keep the apple crops bearing and to keep the trees fruitful for the coming year. And this was a much more raucous event, as you might imagine. Certainly a bit of cider was consumed, guns were fired, there was a bonfire. It was very much a male bonding ritual, I think. All the ladies were in the house getting a feast ready, and this was something that the men did round about midnight in the orchard. Much sort of stamping of feet and rhymes, and poured the cider at the foot of each apple tree. We've been talking about toasting, and we all know what that means. You toast each other at weddings and so on. but actually you would hang a piece of toast in the branches of each apple tree. Toast was often put in wine all the way up to the 19th century. It was thought to improve the taste, and it also sucked up any sediment that was at the bottom.
I suppose we have a remnant of that in the crouton.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, and you know, and all those lovely little biscuits that you dip in liqueur at Christmas time, and all those, is going back to this very old combination of toast or cake and alcohol. But what you did with the toast in the wassail was you hung it on the branches as an offering.
I wonder if it really made a difference to the apple trees.
Oh, I hope it does.
A wassail we begin with sugar, stars and cinnamon and other treasures in. With a wassail, a jolly wassail, and may joy come to you and to our wassail.
If you any maids within your house, as I suppose you've none, they'd not let us stand a wassailing so long on this cold stone.
With a wassail, a jolly wassail, and may joy come to you and to our wassail. We'll cut a toast from off the log and set it by the fire. We'll wassail bees and apple trees until your heart's desire. With a wassail, a jolly wassail, and may joy come to you and to our wassail. Bring out your silver tankard, likewise your kissing spear. We'll come no more a wassailing until another year. With a wassail, a jolly wassail, and may joy come to you and to our wassail.
So the old tradition of wassailing eventually became associated with Christmas, although it had its origins in pre-Christian midwinter celebrations. But while songs like that were being sung in the villages and orchards, church music in England was going through a golden age. So let's leave our merry band of wassailers to warm their hands for a moment and remind ourselves of the liturgical music that was blossoming during the Tudor period.
Thank you.
part of a Nativity Mass by Tallis, performed by the Cardinal's Music, directed by Andrew Carwood. While Tallis was composing that wonderful intricate polyphony, the folk tradition of wassailing and toasting the apple trees in the orchard was thriving, until the Reformation, that is, when the authorities attempted to ban the practice. Historian Joanna Crosby.
I think that it was carried on, certainly in the more rural areas, but officially it was banned. And there is quite a nice edict which survives from 1577. And the fact that they thought to ban it, and indeed put quite a high penalty if anyone was found wassailing, I think shows how important the tradition was at that time. And what they were banning was that they thought it was part of superstitious or old custom, as they put it. And they said if anyone was found singing vain songs or otherwise believing thereby that the trees this year following shall yield the more fruit by wassailing, then that was what the edict was against. And after that, I think it certainly went into a period of decline, but down in the southwest of England, it carried on in the orchards. What didn't survive perhaps so much was the tradition of wassailing round in the manor house and the villages. However, that then got turned into a more urban custom in the north of England, where the children got involved for the first time. Apples come back into all this because the children went round wassailing. Where some of the wassail carols come from is that period of time we're talking about, early 18th century. And they went round with something delightfully called a millie box, which is a shortening of a my lady box. And in this little millie box, there was an apple and an orange and a little doll wrapped up as a baby Jesus and a little doll dressed up as the Virgin Mary. And the children would bang on the door and you would have to pay them a small amount of money and they would display their millie box to you.
For most of us, the tradition of carol singers knocking on your door, whether you like it or not, is the thing. How did that evolve?
That seems to have come about from the wassailing tradition. It came because labourers obviously were not finding much work in the winter, and the carol and the wassail is a way of legitimising knocking from door to door and asking for money, really. Nowadays, obviously, most carol singers do it for charity. In the Victorian times and earlier all the way through, charity began at home. It was a way of saying, we need some money, we haven't got any work in the fields. And it was a way of sort of saying thank you for that by performing, by singing a song. And in fact, the Leeds Wassail, the Here We Come A-Wassailing, has a verse in it that says, we are not beggar children who go from door to door, but we are neighbours' children whom you have seen before. And that's a reference to the idea that early wassails were sung by itinerant people as well as people within the community. But it did then become something that was taken up by the community. Even in urban areas, there was a tradition that it was safer then for the children to go from door to door. And that's where you get children and young women being involved in wassailing, whereas in earlier times out in the orchards, it'd been very much one for the men.
We've been a while a-wandering among the leaves a-green, but now we come a-wassailing so plainly to be seen. For 'tis Christmas time when we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
We are not daily beggars that beg from door to door. We are your neighbour's children, for we've been here before.
For
'tis Christmas time when we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
We've got a little purse made of leather and ratchin skin. We want a little of your money to line it well within.
For 'tis Christmas time when we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
Call up the butler of this house, likewise the mistress too, and all the little children that round the table go.
For 'tis Christmas time when we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year. Bring us out a table and spread it with a cloth. Bring us out a mouldy cheese and some of your Christmas loaf. For 'tis Christmas time when we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
The City Waits, with what's probably the most well-known wassailing song, still sung today as a Christmas carol. So it seems the Reformation wasn't entirely successful when it came to banning the practice of wassailing. So a century later, it was time for Oliver Cromwell's Puritans to have another go.
The Puritans did their best to sort of tone down Christmas festivities. They tried to make it purely a Christian festival, and therefore anything that wasn't directly related to that, certainly wassailing counted, was banned. But I don't necessarily think they succeeded all the way through the country. At the end of the Puritan era, then Christmas really did come back with some force. Obviously, everybody had missed that time.
Were the Puritans partly concerned that the old sort of traditional festivities were to do less to do with the nativity and more to do with the kind of erotic, if you like,
absolutely,
and fertility connection?
Absolutely. I think they were concerned with the amount of drink that was being consumed and the amount of feasting and merrymaking that was going on at the expense of going to church and other such activities.
Pepys has quite a bit to say about Christmas, doesn't he?
Pepys does. And actually, he's one of our sources for how widespread wassailing was and the different forms that it took. He mentions on Boxing Day in 1661 that a wassail girl, as he describes her, a wassail girl and a woman came into the pub where he was on Boxing Day and sang to him. So clearly this wassail girl was not just a carol singer and she wasn't just a beggar. She had this actual role and he recognised her as one who sung wassails. So they were moving in and out of the public houses and the towns. And again, they'd be trying to get small amounts of money for this. And they would sing a wassail song. And he took up the tradition, did Pepys, of serving something like this lamb's wool drink, this spiced ale with the apples in it. Pepys is renowned for his hospitality. And he had what sounds like a rather good party on the 4th of January in 1667. And he served a Christmas draught from a traditional wooden cup. And he records how this went down. He said, "The rest merry and to cards, and then to sing and talk, and at night to sup, and last of all to have a flagon of ale and apples, drunk out of a wood cup as a Christmas draught, made all merry, and so late home, all with great mirth and satisfaction to them." So this apple and ales clearly went down very well with Pepys's party.
Thank you. party music from the 17th century. We've all heard, of course, how after the interregnum, the theatres in England were opened once more with the return of the monarchy in the 1660s. And along with that came the return of some of England's jolliest and most colourful old Christmas traditions. In the 18th century came what we call gallery music, sung and played in the galleries of rural churches, setting the sort of scene that Thomas Hardy described in his novel Under the Greenwood Tree. There was still a sense of local repertoire, though, so that nearly every village had its own way of singing a particular carol. Here's the group Psalmody and a parley of instruments with a version of While Shepherds Watched to a tune I expect you'll recognise.
Looking down to open wood window of the
Carol While Shepherds Watch, to a tune by Thomas Clark, better known today as Ilkley Moor Bartat. Well, we now arrive in the Victorian era, when so many of what we think of as ancient Christmas customs were actually invented, or at least revived in a slightly more respectable form, not least the wassailing tradition. Apple historian Joanna Crosby.
The Victorians were very keen on looking backwards as much as they were looking forward, and they put together these wonderful Christmas books, which were compilations of carols and pictures and poems from earlier centuries, were very widely distributed among the middle classes. And I think this is what made carol singing around the piano in the parlour much more popular as well. And there was much more scholarly work done also on the origins of carols.
Tomorrow shall be my dancing day. I would my true love deed so chance to see the legend of my play, and call my true love to my dance. Sing, oh my love, my love, my love. This have I done for my true love. Then was I born of virgin pure, of her I took fleshly substance, as was I knit to man's nature, to call my true love to my dance. Sing, oh my love, my love, my love. This have I done for my true love.
Maddie Pryor with the Carnival Band. You're listening to me, Lucy Skeeping, here on Radio 3, and on today's early music show, I'm investigating the old custom of wassailing. Here's Joanna Crosby again.
The Victorians certainly did romanticise the old traditions. They probably took some of the more anarchic elements out of it, but they were looking back to the wassail. They understood the importance of it. And if you've ever found yourself saying, perhaps in hope or despair, Christmas comes but once a year, it's from one of these Victorian Christmas books. It's a lovely, very sentimental poem by Thomas Miller, which illustrates the old figure of Christmas. It's not a nativity, it's this figure of Christmas himself, with his wreath and his wassail bowl in place. And he is talking about this figure. He says, "What though upon his hoary head have fallen many a winter's snow, his wreath is still as green and red as 'twas 1,000 years ago. For what has he to do with care? His wassail bowl and old armchair are ever standing ready there, for Christmas comes but once a year."
Wassail, wassail all over the town. Our toast it is white and our ale it is brown. Our bowl it is made of the white maple tree. With the wassailing bowl we'll drink to thee. So here is to Cherry and to his right cheek. Pray God send our master a good piece of beef. and a good piece of beef that we may all see. With the wassailing bowl we'll drink to thee. And here is to Dobbin and to his right eye, pray God send our master a good Christmas pie, and a good Christmas pie that we may all see. With our wassailing bowl we'll drink to thee. So here is to Broadmay and to her broad horn, may God send our master a good crop of corn, and a good crop of corn that we may all see. With the wassailing bowl we'll drink to thee. And here is to Philpale and to her left ear, pray God send our master a happy new year, and a happy new year as e'er he did see. With our wassailing bowl we'll drink to thee. And here is to Collie and to her long tail, pray God send our master he never may fail. A bowl of strong beer I pray you draw near, and our jolly wassail it's then you shall hear. Come butler, come fill us a bowl of the best, then we hope that your soul in heaven may rest. But if you do draw us a bowl of the small, then down shall go butler, bowl and all. Then here's to the maid in the lily white smock, who tripped to the door and slipped back the lock, who tripped to the door and pulled back the pin, for to let these jolly wassailers in.
A touch of wassailing, Victorian style. We have more recent carols written by composers about wassailing, but what about the tradition? Is it still thriving? Joanna Crosby.
Perhaps we're having another revival of the revival, but it's certainly going on across the country, and you may be able to find one near you. I myself started a community orchard, which is partly how I got into all this research on apples. And when we first planted our community orchard, one December 5 years ago, I said we should hold a wassail. And everybody said, what's that? And so we went out into the orchard and I sung very badly a bit of a wassailing carol, which is the one I remembered from school. And a few people turned out to see what the noise was. And since then, we've held it every year. And this is in Trumpington Village near Cambridge. And last year, we had over 150 people turn up in the cold, including people who'd got together to form a wheelbarrow orchestra and somebody dressed as a penguin. So, yes, you can find wassailing. You can hear the hearty cries of wassail up and down the countryside today.
And did the apple trees respond? How was your harvest the next year?
They did. I think they really enjoyed it as much as the people who came. Yes, yes. We hung toast in all the branches and we said, here's to thee, old apple tree, underneath the oldest apple tree in the orchard. And I think they responded magnificently.
Joanna Crosby, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's programme. Have a happy new year.
Father Daddy, sing to her light. guests come in.
Fol-de-dol, fol-de-dol-de-dol, fol-de-dol-de-dee. Fol-de-dero, fol-de-daddy, sing to Ralido.
And we know by the moon that we are not too soon. And we know by the sky that we are not too high. We know by the stars that we are not too far. And we know by the ground we are within sound.
Fol de dol, fol de dol de dol, fol de dol de dol, fol de dol de dee. Fol de dero, fol de daddy, sing to her.
Gawa Wassail, performed by Jogler Razor, directed by Belinda Sykes. And it ends this week's edition of the Early Music Show about the tradition of wassailing. It was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced by Helen Garrison.
Hello, this is Susie Klein, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and New Year break. And if you were lucky enough to get a digital radio this year, welcome to a new world of fantastic BBC radio stations. Along with all your favourite programmes, here on BBC Radio 3, you can now listen to 5 extra national BBC stations, including BBC Radio 4 Extra. But if you didn't get a digital radio for Christmas, well, I've heard that 2015 is the year to treat yourself.
If you love radio, go digital. To find out more, search online for BBC Digital Radio.
BBC Radio 3, it's 3 o'clock and time now for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast at Christmastide in January 2002 from Tewkesbury Abbey with the Exon Singers. The canticles are sung to the second service by Kenneth Layton, while the anthem is a setting by Herbert Howells of John Buxton's poem Long, Long Ago. The service opens now with an introit by Paul Edwards, No Small Wonder.
Thank you. Welcome to Tewkesbury Abbey and to Choral Evensong, in which we continue our celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might have life through him.
O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Psalms 12, 13, and 14, the Book of Common Prayer, the second evening.